Amen. I thought it might be kind of fun to do something a bit fun. And I want us to look at a song called The Mums this morning. I asked myself, what could I share about mums that would be meaningful to them, but would also be helpful for the rest of us who are in attendance this morning? Obviously, on Mother's Day, we like to remember and appreciate the special qualities that our mums live out every day of their lives. Reminded me of a little story I heard. A young boy, I'm not sure if his name was Caleb or not, but it might have been. Anyway, he was in the Sunday school program at the church where he attended, and he had a little part to say, and his part began with Jesus' statement, "I am the light of the world," and then went on. Well, when the night of the pageant came, or the program came, and when it came time for the little guy, he had a total mental freeze-up. And he could not remember how to start his lines. And fortunately, his mom was seated on the front row, and in a desire to help him, she leaned over and whispered a prompt to him. "I am the light of the world." Soon as she said it, a big smile came on his face, and he said, "My mom is the light of the world." Well, it occurred to me that the qualities that we appreciate in our mothers are probably similar qualities that we appreciate in our special friends. And so, as you can see, I've entitled the message, "A Friend Like Mom." I'm going to use the scripture that Carol read for us a little bit earlier in the service from Thessalonians chapter 2. And what I'm hoping to do is, out of that passage, identify just two qualities that I think you will agree we appreciate, not only about our moms, but also about our friends. Here's the first quality: a gentle and sensitive spirit. This is the way the Apostle Paul referred to this in his letter, verse 7. "But we were gentle among you." Then he adds this, "like a mother caring for her little children." It's interesting that in the original in which this was written, the wording is actually "like a nursing mother." It's a picture, kind of the ultimate picture of tenderness and sensitivity. And I think it's so amazing that Stephanie and Abel have reminded us of that tenderness this morning. My observation is that most moms develop a keen sensitivity to what's going on in their children. In other words, they learn to read the signs or the signals. They can recognize emotional responses that other people might miss. They can tell when their child is fearful, for example, or when he or she is anxious about something. They can also tell the difference between willful rebellion on the part of their child and when the kid is just tired and grumpy. They're often able to discern when the spirit of their child has been wounded. This concept was made very real to my wife and I a number of years ago through the teaching of Gary Smalley. He used a hand illustration to explain what happens in a child's spirit, anyone's spirit for that matter. He observed that normally a child's spirit is very open, and he illustrated that with an open hand. They're open to respond and to receive and to be impacted. But then he said that when a child's spirit is wounded, it closes. And he showed the hand closing up to illustrate that. obviously there are many different things that can wound a child's spirit. And by the way, this is not just for children. It applies to youth and us adults as well. There are many ways that a child can be hurt, and that hurt will wound and close his spirit. If we respond to them in anger, we can wound and close the spirit. If we in some way shame them, we will wound and close the spirit. If we do something that disrespects them, we'll wound and close the spirit. Or if we respond to them dishonestly or hypocritically, we can wound and close the spirit. Now here's the challenge. When a person's spirit is closed, it's very difficult. In fact, it's almost impossible to communicate with that person, particularly a child. Doesn't matter whether we're trying to discipline them or trying to instruct them in some way. If their little spirit is closed, we won't be getting through to them. What needs to happen is that the child needs for his or her spirit to be mended or healed. And this usually happens when forgiveness is given and received. It's got to flow both ways. And when that happens, then that little closed, wounded spirit will open once again. And the relational connection can happen the way God intended. Now, I'm sure that you would agree that these same principles carry over into our friendships and our quality relations. If in between two friends there's a conflict, the spirit closing scenario can happen in that setting as well. Having a friend with a sensitive spirit is really a wonderful blessing because those people are aware of our feelings and our needs, and they can respond to us accordingly based on their awareness of our needs. Well, I hope you're kind of asking yourself the question, how can we develop greater sensitivity of spirit? Let me share three practical suggestions. First, pray about it. Ask the Lord to grant you the grace of gentleness or sensitivity. I know that there are personality factors involved here, but I'm encouraged to realize that even temperamentally, if we're not necessarily very gentle, gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. According to Galatians 5:23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. That's one of the nine. And so we can pray and ask God, even if it's not natural for us, it can become supernatural within us. Here's a second practical suggestion. Learn to be a better listener. Do you know that listening is really a skill? Some people naturally have the skill, but most of us, if we really want to become effective listeners, we'll need to develop the skill of listening. It's one of the ways that we learn to show respect and demonstrate value for other people. Again, I want to use an illustration from Gary Smalley. When he does his conferences, he will bring a Stradivarius violin. You know what a Strad is? Probably one of the most expensive violins around. Very, very rare. Very, very valuable. And he will put this in the hands of someone and say, do you know that that instrument is worth $375,000 and it's a Stradivarius? And what do you think the person does? They go, oh, or something like that. And then Gary Smalley says, you know, the way that you responded to that Stradivarius is exactly the way that you should respond as a mom to your children or as a friend to your friends. We need to put that kind of value on our relationships and the people that we care about. So the second thing is to learn to be a better listener and learn to show respect and to value others. Here's the third one. Learn to ask appropriate questions that will help you understand where your child or your friend is at. And again, there's a skill component there. Let me talk about the second quality that I want to encourage us to develop both as moms and as friends. The second quality is that of a servant heart. Let's go back to our passage again. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Here Paul and his associates write this: "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." Can you imagine what it felt like to receive that message from the Apostle Paul and his associates? Then he continues, "Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We work night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you." I suspect you'll agree with me when I say that motherhood and servanthood are virtually synonymous. I've often said in Mother's Day sermons and different settings, mothering young children is one of the most challenging assignments in the whole world. I really believe that. I want to ask a question to those of you who are moms here, especially moms with younger children. Do you ever feel like you could use a couple of extra hands? Maybe this picture will either encourage you or frustrate you. I'm not sure. But I'm sure that often young moms feel exactly like the lady pictured here. Whether it's cooking, whether it's doing the laundry, driving kids here or there, or caring for them when they're ill, mothers serve. It kind of goes with the territory. I heard about a mom who was driving her teen somewhere in the family van, and she looked across at him and she said, "I delivered you the day you were born, and I've been delivering you one place or another ever since." I think it's fair to say that we also appreciate it very much when we are genuinely served by a friend. When that happens, don't you feel valued? Don't you feel cared for? I know that I do. So here's the question. How can you and I develop servant hearts? Is there anything that we can do to contribute to the success of this process? Well, first we need to understand what serving really is, what it's all about. Remember, Jesus made it clear that he came to serve, not to be served, but to serve. It's not surprising that many places in the Bible, Jesus is referred to as the suffering, what? Suffering servant, exactly. A beautiful passage in Philippians 2, particularly verse 7. We're told that Jesus emptied himself, the ultimate act of unselfishness and the ultimate act of service. And then it goes on in that passage to tell us that he took upon himself the very nature of a servant. The King of Glory became a servant to the likes of you and me and all the people of the world. The passage goes on to say that he became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Bottom line, when it comes to serving, Jesus is our model. And God's goal for you, God's goal for me, is that he could make us like Jesus, and we could be servants as well. If I were to ask you what is the symbol of Jesus' service, probably we'd have some different answers, but I think many of you would say the basin and the towel, because they symbolize the washing of the disciples' feet that we read about in John chapter 13. Now, obviously, in Jesus' culture, foot washing was very important. They tended to walk most every place they went, and the roads were not paved. They were dusty. They were dirty. The other complicating factor was that the animals also walked on those roads and made periodic deposits on those roads. And if you weren't careful, you could step in one of those. And so when you finally got to wherever you're going, you really needed someone to wash your feet because you were wearing sandals, not galoshes. Well, you say it's not as necessary today. That's definitely true. Probably the one exception would be the boys' locker room in a high school, but we won't go there this morning. Someone has suggested that the modern equivalent of ancient foot washing might be shining someone's shoes for them as an act of service. I heard a speaker here a while ago, and he told his audience that he had a bunch of shoe shine cloths prepared, and he printed on them, "Live like Jesus." And the idea was that when you were shining somebody else's shoes, you were being reminded that this was the modern equivalent of washing someone's feet. Well, here are some practical suggestions for developing a servant heart. The first one, ask God to produce humility in you. I believe that genuine service flows from humility, and again, humility is another fruit of the Spirit, one of the nine as well. And when we do that, we'll be living and loving like Jesus. For a number of years, our older son Paul worked on the campus of Indiana Wesleyan University, and I had the privilege of seeing this beautiful bronze sculpture on the campus. Can you tell what it is? It's a sculpture's rendition of Jesus washing the feet of Simon Peter. Again, the symbol of his service to humankind. Here's one more suggestion in terms of developing a servant heart. I want to encourage us to pray every day for opportunities to serve. And then when God gives us those opportunities, serve them, seize them, and serve the person that God brings into your life. A few years ago, I heard Dr. Carl George tell about a conversation with Dr. Paul Youngi Cho, at that time the pastor of the largest church in the world, which is in Seoul, Korea. And Dr. Cho has said to Carl George, "You know, we don't do evangelism in Korea the way you do here." And Dr. George says, "Tell me, how do you do evangelism?" He said, "First of all, we pray. And we say, God, bring into my life someone that I can serve." Isn't that interesting? Someone that I can serve. And then when God identifies the person, every day they look for opportunities to serve that person. No fanfare, just gentle, quiet serving. And Dr. Cho said, eventually that person will say to the church member of my church, "Why are you doing this for me? Why are you being so kind? Why are you being so helpful?" And he said, at that moment, we can say to them, "It's because of Jesus that I'm doing this. Would you be interested in learning more about this Jesus who taught me how to serve?" And you know, almost everybody says, "Wow, I sure would." And then they bring them into a small group, and eventually they lead them to Christ. What an incredible approach to evangelism. Can I just remind us that in my opinion, the greatest act of service we can perform is to share the good news of the gospel with a friend. And can I just add this morning? If you are here, my friend, and if you have not had the privilege of opening your heart and life and inviting Jesus to come in, if you've not been able to acknowledge Him as your forgiver and surrender yourself to Him as your loving leader, I encourage you to do that, even here on this wonderful Mother's Day morning. By the way, on the back of the order of service, there's a little prayer there. And millions of people have used a prayer similar to that to invite Jesus to come into their heart and into their life. Well, let me wind this up. I want to share with you in closing three specific commitments that I want to make and I want to call you to make with me. Here's the first one. want you to pray this prayer. Lord, help me to be a mom, for those of you who are moms here, and or a friend with a sensitive, gentle spirit and a servant heart. Pray that God will develop these two qualities in us. Here's the second commitment. Choose the quality that you want to grow in this week. One of the two, either a sensitive, gentle spirit or a servant heart, and then take steps to grow in this area. I got one more suggestion for us. Express gratitude to your mom and or a friend for one or both of these qualities that we've looked at this morning. And let me just throw this in. I know that many of you are like me. Your mom has passed away. Can I encourage you to do this? I'm going to do it. Take a few moments and just talk with God and tell him today how thankful and how grateful you are for any gentleness that you saw in your mom and any unselfish act of service that you saw in her. I can guarantee you this, if you sincerely do that, it will be very, very helpful for you. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the teaching of the Scripture this morning. We thank you for the grace of gentleness. We thank you for the quality of a servant heart. And Father, I pray that you will help everyone who's been part of this message this morning to follow through on these steps of specific commitment and grow in these areas. This is our prayer. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.